Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to this week's Mr. B Clothing Podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Mr. B Clothing, 1995 Northwest 86th Street, gorgeous Clive, Iowa. Went in there the other day, talked to my guy, Timmy Sitzman, getting the summer wear in, Rob Gray. Looks like it's like a cabana shop in there at Mr. B Clothing. We got all kinds of good stuff. Stop on in there.
I need to.
Timmy and the guys will hook you up. They'll get you some nice looking gear, and it's a great store. I love going down there. It's one of the highlights of my week when I get to go and hang out with Tim Sitzman and the guys. Want to do a quick podcast today, Rob, where we can look ahead to Iowa State's roster for next season. I think it's interesting. The season's over, so I think a lot of fans are curious. You know, what's coming back? Who do we got? All that good stuff. And you know, the way I would start this conversation is if the offseason goes the way it should, Iowa State's got a top 5 to 10 preseason basketball team next year. Do you agree with that, or am I overshooting? I mean, I'm saying if everybody comes back who's supposed to, if Fred Hoiberg's your coach, I mean, that core, good luck. There's maybe two or three teams better coming back next year. Am I overselling this? I'm not saying they'll be ranked that way, but yeah. With Niang, Morris, McKay, Long, throw Nader in there, Burton off the bench. I don't really know what to expect from Darian Williams. He's coming off the shoulder injury. Same with Hollis Cook with the hip injury. But I like it. Matt Thomas, Clayton Custer should be better.
Yorgos.
I like Iowa State's roster. You've got two open spots right now. They're saving one for Diallo, potentially. I mean, that's a game changer. The way I approach that is don't plan on it. If it happens, great. Don't ever plan on a guy like that. If it happens, and that's a major bonus for you, major bonus. Maybe a transfer to, I don't know. I would guess a scholarship opens up at some point because it always does happen. Somebody's not happy with their playing time and they leave. It's the year 2015. Happens all the time. But again, I think they're a top 5 to 10 preseason team next year if everything goes the way that is anticipated. What do you think?
No, I think along the same lines. And I think also when you – all the guys you mentioned, take how the season ended for George and for Naz, how personally they took it, how much ownership they took. And that UAB loss, as they did any time that they had what they felt were subpar efforts or were dubbed subpar efforts, you know, whether on the stat sheet or whatever. I mean, those guys, in terms of motivation, in terms of heart, I think their ceiling is more or less limitless. And I think as leaders, I mean, you talked all year about how they're the heart and soul of the team, and I certainly tended to agree. I think their leadership can be even more vocal. I think their production can be even better. And then, as you said, McKay, I think he exceeded expectations. I think there's no question about that. His offensive game, his ability to finish with both hands and to make moves, and the emotional leadership he gave in some of those games, particularly the Oklahoma comeback at home. But he kept guys together, and you can see he's an emotional guy, and he really, really cares. I mean, I don't think it's a stretch to expect – him to be a first team All Big 12 type of player.
You've got three guys who could be.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, with Monte, George, and in the preseason, I mean, it's hard to believe they would have three because there are other good guys coming back in the league.
Yep.
But I agree with you, though. I feel like he's more dynamic than. But I mean, who do you leave off?
I know.
You know what I mean?
And, you know, they're always diplomatic, so you're going to get.
They're not
going to
have. There's not going to be three Iowa State guys. But seriously, if you have a vote, who do you leave off?
I don't. I have no idea who I would leave off of those three.
Because you can't leave Monte Morris and George Niang.
You'd almost have somebody send me pick a number for you or something. So you'd have to Monte is, I believe, on pace again to break his own record. I don't know. All NCAA games are included in that. It's not just a regular season award, you know, like NCAA assist turnover. So either that or he's going to end up being number two or three all time. And I mean, he's so efficient. And now that he finishes, and can hit big threes, can do so many other things. He gets a little bigger. You know, we already know his basketball IQ is stratospheric. I mean, it's off the charts, as Fred likes to say. So, yeah, I couldn't see leaving any of those guys off. But, I mean, obviously you'd have to find a way. I guess that's what the voters from other teams are for.
Yeah.
Sure, some of those guys are left off because you've got
– okay, put
and
yourself –
then Naz, as a guy who, you know, is capable – this team is on paper better than this – I guess I'll say this year's team since the tournament's still going on.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's no question about that, and the potential is even greater. You just have to avoid, you know, what wasn't avoided last Thursday. But
looking ahead, a lot of talk on draft picks and all that stuff. Monte Morris, as of now – this 2016, not this year,
yeah,
2016 mock draft at draftexpress.com has Monte going 43rd.
Yeah, I figured second round.
Second round. Notable just because Diallo, the kid Iowa State's recruiting, is a lottery pick.
Mm-hmm.
They have him at 11.
Yep.
Nobody else. George Niang's not even listed. Doesn't mean he's not going to be drafted or whatever. This is clearly just looking into the future. I know. I think Monte Morris will actually – I think he has the potential to work himself into a first-round pick, but we'll see.
Yep.
At this point, actually, I'd say it's 50-50 he plays 4 years at Iowa State. I think there's a good chance he would go pro.
Sure. Because his game it would translate anywhere, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, Europe's a lucrative prospect. And look, it's not like guys can't go to Europe for a year or two and end up having long NBA careers, too. I mean,
correct.
The dude's the type of basketball player where his game is going to shine, you know, whether it's in Brazil or Turkey or Amsterdam.
Right now, the scholarship chart we have at CycloneFanatic.com shows two open spots for the spring signing period for Iowa State. I would guess there'll be more, though, and I'm not even trying to stir up speculation. I'm just being realistic. It's what happens mm-hmm. in 2015. I don't know who your top candidates would be. Probably Yorgos and Clayton Custer, just because they didn't play. That's the only reason I'm saying that. I really hope that they can keep Custer. I think Clayton can be a really nice player for Iowa State. I don't know about Yorgos because I haven't seen him enough. I've seen Clayton play a lot of ball, like, and I just think he's got it.
Yeah,
I don't think he's ever going to be Monte Morris, but not many people are. Right?
Yep.
Just give him some time. I think you're going to have a nice little point guard in Clayton Custer. Matt Thomas, you know, is it the year where he makes that jump? I don't know. Deontay Burton's a very intriguing prospect. I think he's going to really be an impact guy. I don't know if he's
going to have games where he scores 30. And goes for like 14 boards. I mean, and then there'll be games where maybe he scores 6. I mean, I think he will be an impact guy. And in my mind, there's no question he'll be a big impact guy. But that's just based on what I've seen around practice every now and then.
I wish he was 6'7".
And his past stats, obviously, too. But his wingspan is supposedly incredible, too, to go with that 6'4", you know, kind of block of granite frame.
Yeah, and you know Fred's working on a shot this offseason.
Yep.
That's his key. I mean, if he can improve that jump shot, he could be really good.
Because he could play like a 6'7" guy with that wingspan. If he can defend, particularly along the perimeter, if he's guarding against somebody, you know, slashing into the lane on him, but with that wingspan and that explosive jumping ability, can get out and contest a three. We saw them foul a lot of guys on three-point shots on the stretch this season.
The only thing I can think of covering Iowa State more frustrating than that is when it's like fourth and inches and they're lining up in the shotgun.
Yes.
It's the only thing I can think of more frustrating than that. Oh my God.
By God, we're going for it. It's fourth and one. We're going to show how tough we are. How are we going to do it? We're going to line up in the shotgun and pitch it out to a guy about 8 yards behind.
I'll never forget one night. It was a social deal. It was one of the like Gridiron Club things that I was invited to. And I was with Tom Herman and we had a couple of drinks. Wasn't anything, but I was like, Tom, will you answer something for me? I was like, I'm off the record, right? And here I am telling the story now, but I know he wouldn't care. Why in the hell do you guys line up in the shotgun when it's fourth and one or fourth and inches, and he just rolled his eyes and walked away from me. Which, if you know Tom Herman, you would laugh at that because he's just a quirky type. Drives me absolutely bonkers when they do that. But whatever. Then the three-point thing. They did that again to UAB.
Yep.
They did that to UAB.
Yeah.
That's got to be on, like, Ted Flint's drinking game. Foul a three-pointer, and you got to take a shot. Like, it's unbelievable how many times they
do that. Or you got to buy someone a shot because I think he tries to prepare a card that is to, you know.
Do you think, though, that there was so much talk about them not closing out on three-pointers early in the year that they became obsessed with it and started doing that more? Because I don't remember the three-point fouls early in the season.
Yeah, that's true. And no, there weren't. I think a couple of those were a little bit dramatic.
Yeah.
I mean, they might not have been called, but nonetheless, you get your hand in there.
Yeah,
looks like there's a tiny bit of contact. Guy goes, flailing to the side, puts a referee in the position to make that call. But the reason I brought it up with Burton is, I mean, he can then possibly even stay back a little bit on those guys.
Yeah.
So if he's going up to contest the shot with his explosive leaping ability and his wingspan, can actually contest without having to get right into the guy and maybe making that tiny bit of body contact. It wasn't always tiny. It was sometimes obvious, you know, that it was a foul. But who knows? I mean, that's just speculation in a kind of a minutia kind of way. But
wild cards, I think, next year, Halas Cook and Darian Williams. Williams is he'll have 3 years to play. Iowa Western Community College signee from the fall. He had shoulder surgery in the offseason. He hasn't played ball in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I left him off of a column I wrote last week, and it had nothing to do with – I'm not counting on him. I just don't – I think it's a dangerous proposition to say we're going to count on this guy to do X next year because I don't know. And I think the same with Halas Cook. Hip surgery is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Hip surgery is – and I'm not writing Halas Cook career off. I'm not doing that at all. It's a big deal, though. So for either one of those guys, I think you have to just tread lightly – keep your expectations low, and let's see how they look in October. Let's see how they look in the Cap City League. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a tough call because, I mean, Cook obviously came in as a tremendous shooter at Oregon State. I can't remember what percentage he shot.
Like 40?
43?
Yeah, something like that. Right in the ballpark.
But like you say, hip, I mean, that's going to affect, you know, you got to be able to move out there.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that Fred loves shooters, but he doesn't like guys who are strictly shooters that A, can't.
Hence Sherron Dorky
can't defend,
Walker.
Can't, you know, and then go back to Bluford, although he was a volume shooter. I'm not
Bluford
sure.
Bluford was like that kid from
guy.
That Brown from UAB.
Yeah,
I actually made that comment to Travis Hines at halftime. I was like, that's KJ Bluford out there. He's playing for UAB tonight.
Yeah, but, you know, so you hope. And I mean, he's young enough, too, that, you know, so little wear and tear except how that kind of freakishly happened for him with his hip. You know, he's a very promising player there for Oregon State. Coaching change, you know, he decided that.
He wanted to play for Obama's brother-in-law.
Yeah. You can't, like, as you said, you can't count on guys like that.
No.
But you certainly can look to them with hope in terms of, you know, and I think legitimate hope that they can contribute at least in a minor way in the Big 12 and maybe a significant way. I think that's a very legitimate, even not just a hope, but a likely, you know, the likelihood type of situation where they can contribute, you know, somewhat significantly in the non-conference, and then, you know, a little bit here and there in the Big 12.
What do you if you're scouring the free agency in college basketball, which is what it is, let's be honest, with the transfers. What are you targeting? Let's just assume here, and again, let's assume they don't get Diallo.
Yeah.
Okay, because he's a potential McDonald's All-American. Mm-hmm. Listen, I hope they get him. But to just count on it, much like the Rashad Bond deal, I think is a risky proposition to just assume that guy is going to be here. Let's go with the more traditional Iowa State spring signing period. Big guy, try and add a Dustin Hogue to the roster.
I absolutely go that route. I think you've got enough shooters, even with the uncertainty of what Cook can do. Let's not forget how good Clayton Custer can shoot it.
Yeah.
Matt Thomas, another year, he came on great first half against UAB.
Yeah.
And as you said in a previous podcast, I mean, without him, how much are they down in that game?
Mm.
he's going to get more run, too. He's not competing. You know, Nader, I'm not sure he'll be a three-point shooter, but he gives you that slashing ability.
Nader needs to just quit shooting threes.
Yeah, I think unless he's wide open, maybe finds a rhythm, maybe he works on a lot this offseason, because I heard he was a good three-point shooter from Cap City stuff.
But the weird thing that everybody always told me, it's like, oh, if you put a hand in his face, he's better. That's weird. Yeah. That shouldn't be the case. Yeah. Like, don't rely on that guy shooting threes.
And it didn't happen.
He needs to put the freaking ball on the floor. He's unstoppable when he attacks.
Yeah, he's great going to the rim. Yeah.
So I think he slides into the starting lineup.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably. But I think going back to the big guy, I know that some people think he can never have too many shooters, but it was evident when McKay's the only guy who can rebound in that UAB – against UAB.
Yeah.
You need somebody of that – you know, this is a wish list that you couldn't possibly – meet, you would think, although guys, mysterious things happen in the transfer game.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could get anybody who approaches that Tashaun Thomas type of body, because he can move too. And I'm not saying that skill, because obviously, you know, he was newcomer of the year over McKay and then the All Big 12 stuff. But if you can get somebody of that in that mold that is big, rebounds, occasionally scores, but can still run the floor sufficiently. You know, I think that's where Daniel Adozie got caught. He didn't always run the floor in the same, you know, vein as others, because he was athletic enough to do it, but it just wasn't the same kind of thing. You know, poor man's Thomas, for, you know, Tashaun Thomas, I think that would be ideal for Iowa State.
Hopefully that happens. That'd be sweet. I wouldn't even mind a JUCO point guard. Not even recruiting
to help
over.
Bridge the gap. Between,
because I've mentioned I like Clayton Custer.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also, you got to have a point guard. And if Monte Morris were to go down.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I'm just thinking.
A guy who's been playing a lot of basketball over the last couple of years.
You get a Kenny Cherry Light.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be an it guy.
Yep.
And I don't really know what's out there either. Finding the JUCO point guard that's worthy to play in the Big 12 in the spring signing period is generally a difficult thing to do. So I think I'm probably asking too much. But I they're much better when Naz is not running the point. Halas Cook is not a point guard.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got literally Monte. And listen, positions at Iowa State are overrated. George Niang can run the point.
Yep.
Nader can dribble it down the floor if you need him to. Like, there are different guys on here, but I'd like to see another guy added like that. We'll see. And Fred's not, I mean, he's proven he's not afraid to bank one for a transfer in the mm-hmm. fall either.
Yep.
So
that's one thing I was thinking when you talked about the two open. I'd be very surprised if more than one of those was filled.
Yeah. I probably would be too. But again, I'm banking on somebody else leaving. Just because it usually happens.
Yeah. At Iowa State.
It happens everywhere.
Everywhere.
In the year 2015, dudes leave. Mm-hmm. It's just if you don't have attrition, you're the minority.
Mm-hmm.
You are the minority. Used to be if you had a guy transfer,
yeah.
Not anymore.
What's wrong with the program?
Yeah. That's not the case. Like, you can have good players leave just because it's just the way it is nowadays. All right, Rob. Well, thanks for your time. Short podcast today, but I wanted to attack that, as I know that the looking ahead to next year is going to be a hot topic at CycloneFanatic.com all off-season long. It already is. What else do you do when your team loses? Got to look for next year. You're a
exactly.
Cubs fan. You know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been doing that for a long time.
Thanks for your time.
Hey, good to be here, my friend.
Appreciate it. He's Rob Gray. I'm Chris Williams. Thanks to Mr. B Clothing. 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive. So long, everybody. Have a great week.